Only God is wise enough to see the future. Do your giving while you're still around to see how it's used. Larry Burkett wrote that in his book, Business by the Book. I am Rob West. As Christians, we tend to think of giving as a personal thing. We're called to do it. But what about as a business? What happens when a business gives back to God's kingdom? I'll talk about that today with Amay Dodson, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, it's certainly a pleasure to have Amay Dodson with us today. She's the National Director of Affiliate Relationships at Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. And Amay, it's a privilege to have you with us.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, we're delighted. And I'd love to start with you just sharing a bit about Movement, how it started and what the mission is.
Well, the mission is that we exist to love and value people by leading a movement of change in our industry, corporate culture, and in communities. And when we started the company, late 2007, beginning of 2008, our goal was to change the way financial services companies faced the community, specifically and initially to make sure that we treated every single borrower like our little sister, that we were locked arms with people we love doing life with, and then to leverage our profits to serve communities around the world.
Well, it sure seems like it from my vantage point. You know, it's one thing, Amay, to treat customers well so you get positive word of mouth and repeat customers. That's, of course, just good business. It's quite another, though, to give back from revenues, not just here in the U.S., but literally around the globe. So tell us how that works at Movement.
Well, we've always had the heart that our profits wouldn't be ours, that we would give them to God and use them in meaningful ways. And so a lot of that is done through our investments in sustainable projects that serve marginalized communities and through match giving. So we find a way to amplify the generosity of our employees by matching their money to qualified nonprofits around the world.
Mm. Now, I know, Amay, Movement has invested more than $375 million in really compelling causes around the world. Perhaps you could share a story or two about how the nonprofit Movement Foundation has helped to meet the needs of the underserved around the globe.
Well, for a little over a decade now, we've been partnering with an organization that builds churches and hope centers in developing countries around the world. Wow. And in addition to funding the building of these churches and these hope centers, we've been sending our employees and teams on vision trips so that they might see firsthand the work being done with the profits that they're helping to generate. And while that's impactful, that's just a slice of what we've been able to do through the Movement Foundation.
Incredible. And what about some of the practical and even spiritual outcomes when a business decides to give back in the way that Movement has?
First, the ability to show and lead our employees towards the generosity that already exists in their heart and giving them the opportunity to volunteer and serve with the organizations that we're supporting, it has a tendency to amplify everyone's desire to create greater significance in the work that they do, and it means more.
Amay, that's powerful. And I love how you get your employees involved in this giving. They're really at the core of this mission, aren't they?
Absolutely. And so are our borrowers, and so are our referral partners. Every single person involved in the transaction, while we're serving the borrower's best interest by helping them get into a home and a responsible loan, everyone involved knows that the ultimate result is the profits are going to be leveraged into our communities. And that's powerful. People want to do work with those that are doing good in the community, and that certainly is a valuable lift to the entire relationship.
Oh, I can only imagine. Redefining the mortgage process and also impacting the marginalized and so many more literally all over the globe. Amay, how can folks get more information about Movement Mortgage?
Movement.com has all of the intel, and you can find a local loan officer that can serve your needs.
Awesome.
Amay, thanks for giving us a new insight into how business can be used, not just for profit, but eternal purposes. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you. Have a great day.
That's Amay Dodson with Movement Mortgage, an underwriter of this program. You can learn more at movement.com/faith. That's movement.com/faith. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Have you had sleepless nights before a big day? It may have been your first day of school or at a new job, perhaps even your wedding day. Excitement may have kept you up, but oftentimes it's fear. We're afraid of the unknown. What can we do in these moments? Joshua 1:9 is a word for those who are anxious and afraid. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. The Lord your God will be with you. Joshua had the great task of leading Israel into the promised land. But God was with him, and God is with us. God's promise to Joshua stands for us today. So let's face the unknown with confidence. Not confidence in ourselves, but in the Lord. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Visit getanchor.com.
Are you struggling to fit your faith into your practice as a Christian financial advisor? The Certified Kingdom Advisor designation teaches you a step-by-step process to confidently deliver advice that aligns with Christian values. Discover the skills you need to help your clients make a kingdom impact. Get started today by enrolling in the CKA educational program at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified. That's kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Do you want to prepare for God's calling on your life to ministry? Many people have a sense that God is calling them to ministry, but they don't know the next step to take. Here's a step that may be for you. Wesley Biblical Seminary offers a new Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry that's entirely online, and it will prepare you for whatever ministry God calls you to next. We want to equip you with knowledge and tools you need to confidently fulfill the calling that God has put on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
So grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. All right, it's time to take your calls and questions today at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. By the way, great to have Amay Dodson with us in our opening segment. Movement Mortgage doing some incredible work in communities across the country and literally around the globe, while they're also really reimagining the mortgage process. And if you are in the market here in this buying season for a mortgage, you'd like to learn more, check them out today at movement.com/faith. All right, we're going to head to the phones. We're going to begin today in Alabama. Karen, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead.
Yes, I have a mortgage that I was trying to pay off early by paying an additional amount on the principal each month equal to the amount of the principal that's being currently taken from the account. Yeah. And I did that in February, and for March, it was fine. And so I paid an additional amount in March. And when I received my statement in the mail, or when I looked on my bank statement on the phone, it had not changed. It was the same amount as the previous month, even though I had paid the principal, the actual principal that they take out, which is the amount of my mortgage is debited from my checking account each month.
Yes.
And I went into the bank physically and presented a check with the principal written on the check, as well as my account number, and even stated to the teller that this is to go toward my principal. And my mortgage did not change from February to March to April. It remained the same. So when I called about it, it just didn't make any sense to me at all. It was like the mortgage had not been paid. So the amount that was debited from my account, in addition to the principal that I, additional principal I paid, was not removed. And they can't explain it to me. And I just don't know what to do.
Yeah. Well, clearly something's not right here. I think you need to go back to them and see if you can get somebody else on the phone. Because as you said, it's not even just that they misapplied the additional principal, which does happen from time to time, and you've got to stay on top of that. But they didn't even apply the portion of your regular payment that was supposed to go to principal, which that's all determined in advance based on the amortization schedule. But you're saying that the principal balance literally didn't budge, correct?
No, it didn't. It did not. The amount remained the same from March to April. It was the same. And I got another payment that's coming out on the 13th. And I just want this to be cleared up.
Well, of course you do. And I can understand that. Could it be that when you got them, the payment just hadn't posted yet?
I don't. That's another thing I thought about. And I said, well, I'll look at it a couple more weeks down the road here. And there was no change. And it is almost as if they're trying to explain something to me that it just absolutely doesn't make any sense, because if you're actually making an additional payment on your principal, that would be at that state is almost $1,000 more I'm paying on my mortgage each month.
Yeah.
So it should have budged.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. So you need to go back to them and just ask them to give you, an accounting of how the payments have been applied, and run an amortization schedule showing the balance. That'd be the term you'd want to use. And they can run that for you, just giving you a breakdown of the principal balance that's remaining and give you a reconciliation of every payment that you've made. And you'll be able to see for yourself kind of what's going on here. I mean, obviously, if a payment was made, they're not showing you in a past due status. So they're acknowledging that you've received, that they've received the payment. And when that payment is applied to your mortgage, clearly the principal balance has to change. Whether you pay an extra dime above the scheduled payment or not, it's got to change. But even more so if you apply an additional amount. So we've got to get to the bottom of this. I would call back, get somebody else on the phone, explain to them that you need to see the last few months worth of statements, and you'd like an amortization schedule because you believe that the principal balance hasn't changed, even though, you paid your regularly scheduled payment plus an additional amount, and get to the bottom of it. You'll be able to. I wouldn't go to the teller. I'd call the department that handles the mortgage servicing, which, they deal with this stuff every day, and they should be able to give you an accounting of what's going on.
Well, that's one of the things I did. I did that last week, and I did that again yesterday, and I just absolutely got nowhere with it. That's why I'm frustrated, because it makes me not. I want to pay the mortgage off early, and it's just frustrating. I don't want to pay any additional money, not knowing where it's going to go.
Yeah, no, I certainly understand that. Let's do this. I'd love to help you get to the bottom of this, Karen. I'm going to have one of our certified Christian financial counselors give you a call, and they can tell you what information to request from your mortgage company. Also, do you have online access?
Yes, my daughter, she would be able to do that.
Okay, that'd be the other way to go, because you should be able to log in there and see the history on the account and each payment, and it'll also show the principal balance. But even if you just called them over the phone, when you hear from one of our certified Christian financial counselors, they'll tell you what information to request, and they can help you analyze the documentation from the mortgage company to determine exactly what's going on. And maybe that would give you, you know, some additional set of eyes on this to help figure this out. So you stay on the line if you'd like, Karen. Get our team will get your information, and we'll get somebody in touch with you to see if we can help you, okay?
Thank you very much for all your help.
You're welcome, Karen. You stay on the line. Let's head to Minnesota. Jim, go right ahead, sir.
Hey, good morning. Thanks a lot for taking my call.
Sure.
You have a great show. Appreciate the helpfulness.
Thank you.
My question is, I'm of the age that I can take money out of an IRA, and it's not a taxable event.
Right.
And I'm trying to understand the advantages, you know, pros and cons of doing that versus taking money out of my checking account or whatever non-IRA account, and then deducting that charitable amount off of my income taxes. And it seems like it's a wash to me. Can you explain that to me?
Yeah. Are you of the age where you need to take a required minimum distribution or no?
No.
Okay, so you're over 70 and a half, but you're not quite to where you need to take an RMD?
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, so the benefit here is that, you know, whenever you take money out of an IRA, it's going to be added to your taxable income. But for folks that don't need that money, one of the ways they can, you know, get around that is by, if you were normally going to make a donation out of your checking account, that's after tax money. And so you're essentially sending a gift of after tax money. If you itemize, you could take it as a charitable deduction. 90% of people don't. So then what the qualified charitable distribution allows you to do is take that pre-tax money and never recognize it as income and give the full amount to the charity or ministry. Now, an added benefit is once you reach the age where you need to make an RMD, if you don't need the money, it's a way to satisfy that required minimum, again, without recognizing it as income. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think the key point that you made was, for me, was the itemization of deduction.
Yeah. So if you're not able to deduct it, it really doesn't benefit you. And this way, you can get the money in the hands of the ministry and never recognizing it as income. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
God made His design for marriage absolutely clear. July 6th through the 8th at the Cadence Bank Arena and Conference Center in Tupelo, Mississippi, it's the Marriage Family Life Conference 2023. Strengthen your marriage and your family with Abraham Hamilton III, Dr. Kathy Cook, Miki Addison, and many more. The Youth Apologetics track is back as well. The Marriage Family Life Conference 2023, for His glory alone. Register today at marriagefamilylife.net.
We are grateful for support from One Ascent Investments on the Faith and Finance program. They manage a comprehensive suite of value-based investment strategies designed to help Christian investors live aligned with what they value most. One Ascent believes that if your values inspire the way you live, they should also inspire the way you invest. This can be a unique form of worship. More information is available at investments.oneascent.com. That web address is investments.oneascent.com.
American Family Studios was started back in 2011 as a way to advance the Christian worldview into an increasingly media-rich culture.
Media is like such a powerful tool to communicate the gospel. I love writing stories, getting in my office, and just thinking, how can we portray this concept of who God's character is? And to get to use the gifts that God has given me is really a joy.
AmericanFamilyStudios.net.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Well, thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. This is where we apply the wisdom from God's Word, the principles, the big ideas to your financial decisions and choices, recognizing our role as stewards or managers of God's resources. Everything we have belongs to the Lord. That's what Psalm 24:1 tells us, among many other passages, which puts us in a role of manager or trustee, you might say, and money now becomes a tool to accomplish God's purposes. And we really go back to Scripture to see what He has for us as we live and give and owe for debt and taxes, and as we grow it as well. And there's principles and big ideas that we can use to apply to the decisions and choices we're making every day. We want to help you do that on this program as we gather together each morning. We've got some lines open for whatever you're thinking about today. The number to call is 800-525-7000. You can give us a call right now at 800-525-7000. Let's head to Virginia. Michael, you'll be next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
So I have we were blessed with an inheritance recently. My wife was blessed with an inheritance recently, and we're trying to decide, being less than 3 years or right around 3 years that we'll have our home paid for, we could pay it off from that inheritance, but we also do have a few needs, of a major nature, need a new roof on the home. It'd be helpful to replace a deck and a few larger expense items like that. Wanted to get your input and perspective on, what would be the best way to go in terms of how to use that inheritance wisely.
Yeah, that makes sense. Talk to me about, just as you and your wife really think and pray through this, do you all have just a conviction to be out of debt as soon as possible, or are you comfortable just allowing these 3 years to play out on your current path? And then secondly, how important is it that you do these other projects right away versus kind of paying for them over time?
So we are strongly of the conviction to stay out of debt, have no other debt, thankfully. Thank the Lord for
Good.
That.
Yeah.
We have a little bit of a difference of perspective on this. My wife would like to go ahead and just pay it off pay off the mortgage.
Sure.
And then go ahead and take what normally would have been our house payment, save it toward these other expenses. I'm of the perspective that because I'm still working and, we can readily cover the mortgage, to go ahead and make sure that we handle these expenses, which are the way things have gone up now. I haven't priced a new roof yet or anything of that nature, but, I'm sure we're probably talking, anywhere from, $7,000 to $10,000 to get a new
sure.
roof and
yeah.
some of these kinds of things. So. And, we're in a stage in life where we are going to have to consider a move soon, a major move. We have a special needs child. We're going to need to get closer to some other children. And so we obviously want to make sure that we keep the investment in our home as, high as we possibly can. Sometimes if you don't have those kinds of things handled when you go to put your house on the market, that's going to bring down the value, et cetera. So
Yes.
So that's where we are in terms of that. I mean, we're both definitely committed to, you know, staying out of debt, reducing debt. But because my perspective is because I can readily, you know, continue for the next couple of years working where I am, paying that off, you know, Lord willing, continuing to work as I can, that we can readily handle that.
Sure. And how far off do you believe the move is at this point, just based on what you know today?
Well, that's a good question. I know I've got children that would love us to move to another part of the country, you know, tomorrow. But I would need to find a, you know, I'm a kind of a senior position where I work. It's you know, it's a good position, and I'd obviously need to still, because I'm gonna still need to work for a few more years here. I need to find another job in another location, et cetera. So we're still kind of weighing that back and forth. We know we're going to have to make that. I don't know that we've made a firm decision yet in terms of, you know, what the timing may be.
Okay. Yeah, but it could be in the next couple of years, correct?
That's correct.
All right. Yeah, so I think one approach I might take is go ahead and find that realtor that you think you might use for the home sale, assuming you were going to use a professional, and have that person consult with you on what should actually be done. I just had a family member that I helped through the home selling process with a 30-year-old roof, and you know, she decided not to replace it, you know, made full disclosure of the age of the roof at the sale. And, you know, folks came in, you know, we priced it, I think, pretty competitively. You know, in 48 hours, there was, you know, 12 offers, three of them were all cash, and two of them, you know, were 25 to 30,000 above asking, and they knew full well they were going to have to put a roof on it. Now, could she have gotten, instead of 25,000 above asking, 35 above with the new roof? Maybe. But, you know, there are certain projects you want to do and others you may not, just in terms of your ability to get that money back out. And, you know, depending on whether it's truly a repair that just needs to be done so that the house shows well versus something that might be seen as more of an improvement that may or may not, you know, be seen by the new buyer as an improvement. So, you know, I think just thinking through that strategically. Now, if this was a home you were going to keep for the next 10 or 20 years and just to enjoy it, well, that's a completely different situation. But you need to be looking at this and each of these projects through the eyes of prospective buyers. And I think, you know, just given where materials costs are today and what things may be seen truly as a value add or an enhancement to the property to maximize the value, and what may not be, I think I might be more in favor of you all just paying off the mortgage, because your wife would really like to do that. She'd like the peace of mind that comes with that, and then take that extra payment every month and, like you said, sock it away, but work with a realtor to be strategic about what things you do and what things you don't do. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. No, some great insight, really.
That might be the way that I would go. But listen, all the best to you, Michael, in this next season. I'm excited for you. We'll be right back on Faith and Finance. Stay with us.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org, or call 800-557-1985.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind, and the loss is overwhelming. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. But there is hope and healing from an abortion. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. 866-482-LIFE.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
God has entrusted his finances to you, and we at FaithFi have designed our FaithFi app to help you live, give, owe, and grow with that perspective. Our FaithFi app is the leading biblically-based finance app. You can manage your money, get top biblical financial resources, and interact with a community of like-minded believers, where you can ask questions, get answers, and share what you're learning. Go to faithfi.com and click the word app to get started.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. All right, we're taking your calls and questions. We'd love to hear from you with whatever you're thinking about financially speaking today. That's 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open, whether it's your debt repayment, maybe it's giving wisely, saving for the future and investing, or your credit score, maybe anything related to those topics. We'd love to hear from you. 800-525-7000. You could give us a call right now. To North Carolina we go. Hi, Suzanne. Go right ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my call today. My husband and I recently sold a property. In time, we plan to reinvest that money in another property. We're just going to sit tight right now. And the money, we put it in a credit union account. And I'm hearing a lot about regional banks possibly closing, more of them in 2023. So yeah. First part of my question is, are credit unions safer, less vulnerable to fail?
They're really have the same, for the most part, the same backing as the banks. So credit unions are very safe. Federally chartered credit unions are insured by the National Credit Union Administration, which is essentially just like the FDIC. It's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States government. Now, a very small percentage of credit unions are insured privately by American Share Insurance. That's the only private company insuring credit unions in the U.S. They've been doing it for 50 years. No account holder insured by ASI has ever lost a penny. But if it were me, I would just make sure that your credit union is insured by the NCUA. And that's going to give you backing from the U.S. government through that U.S. government department. So, you know, I wouldn't have any concern about that. I mean, even if there was a bank failure, there's plenty of resources, including the balance sheet of the Treasury that's at the disposal of the NCUA or the FDIC. So even if we had some more bank failures, we've already seen how that plays out, and basically the NCUA or the FDIC will step in and make sure that depositors have access to their capital. So if it were me, I would stay right where you are, Suzanne. I would just make sure you're under that $250,000 threshold.
Yes, we are. We are. And so you feel pretty confident if a bank fails, the government will continue to step in?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, everything that they're doing is all about instilling confidence in the banking system. And they know that that's the bedrock to all of this. And so they have to foster that confidence by stepping in each of these situations to make sure that depositors are made whole and have ready access to their cash. That's their entire function. And they'll do that, with the full disposal of the resources of the U.S. government. in the U.S. Treasury. So I don't have any issue with that whatsoever.
Okay. What are your thoughts about owning physical gold in today's environment? Is that a good idea if we took some of our proceeds that are sitting in the credit union and purchased gold?
Would this be money that you plan to redeploy in a short period of time for another purchase or some other investment?
Yes, we're going to reinvest in another rental property, but we're just kind of sitting tight to wait to see what happens with prices and all. So we're not in a rush to do it, but yeah. I think within the next 12 months.
Okay. Well, given that time horizon, I would not, if it were me, be putting that in gold, whether it's physical gold or a tracking stock or ETF. Just given, you know, we're already right now, gold is very high. It's had a pretty significant run up. And I think you would just be trying to time the market. And, you know, if you decide that you find the right property or the environment is right for you to make that next real estate purchase, I'd hate for you to have to sell that at a loss. So although I like the precious metals, I don't think we should overweight there. I think the opportunity is to be at the upper end of the range that you and your advisor have set for your allocation of precious metals, which is typically no more than 10%. But given that this money is earmarked for another purchase in less than 3 years, I wouldn't be putting that in gold. I'd keep that in a high-yield savings account or a CD.
Okay. Do you have any high-yield savings accounts that you can recommend?
I mean, a couple of thoughts. You could go to bankrate.com and do a little research there. You can choose the CD category. You can tell it what duration you're looking for and hit search, and it'll come back with the banks that are and credit unions that are offering the most competitive rates right now. A couple that you might want to take a look at, one in particular is Marcus. Marcus.com, that's the retail side of Goldman Sachs. They've got some really competitive rates out there right now that you could take a look at. If you wanted a credit union that aligned with your Christian values, you could look at the Christian Community Credit Union at joinchristiancommunity.com. They have a pretty attractive CD right now as well.
Yes, that would probably pique my interest. All right. Well, thank you so much for your time and your advice. We greatly appreciate it.
Well, I'm delighted. Susanna, thank you for being on the program today. God bless you. Let's see. To Tennessee, Ron, go right ahead.
Yes, hi. I had a question regarding ESG business, such as advertisers and banking industry that support ESG. For example, if my deposits are in a company, a corporation that is selling stock, and I buy into that stock knowing that those ESG products are advertising with pervert organizations like LGBT, abortion industry related, and how much they're polluting the news, so we don't even get a fair shake at the news. We're all we see is lies, 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 all the way up to the White House press secretary. And am I partaking in evil or not if I knowingly invest in these things and then I do not make a correction? For example, if I buy Bank of America stock and it's going up, 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 I like the profits. I'm not stupid. But am I partaking in evil knowing of what they're doing?
Yeah. Well, I appreciate the question, Ron. Here's the good news is you have more opportunity than ever to align your values as a believer with your investments and your banking relationships, because the entire industry of faith-based investing is growing and flourishing such that if your conviction is to avoid companies that are misaligned with your Christian values or to embrace other companies that are promoting human flourishing or even a kingdom impact, you have every opportunity to do that. You know, our perspective is that this is a conviction or a conscience matter. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind is what we see in Romans. I think you'd be hard pressed to find chapter and verse that says, you know, it's an absolute sin to buy a stock on the secondary market. There are no Christian companies. There's only people that have surrendered their lives to Jesus. But at the same time, I think each one of us needs to develop our own convictions around how we want to invest. How do we want to take God's capital, because it all belongs to Him, and deploy it and in what way and in what companies do we want to deploy it into? And, you know, that's a matter of discernment, because ultimately we want to do, as Hebrews 5:14 says, we want to be trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. And I think that's, it's incumbent upon each of us as stewards to come to that decision and determine, you know, what that looks like. You know, we've got to watch our investments closely, but, you know, we've got to also ask some questions. Who are the companies that I own? Does it matter to me what these companies do or stand for? How can I more fully express my Christian values by the way I invest in them? And once you come to that conviction personally, then I think it's a matter of you acting on that. And if you need an advisor to do that, you could connect with a certified Kingdom advisor at our website, faithfi.com. One thing you may want to do is check out a listing of all of these faith-based investing companies that might give you what you're looking for at faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. We'll be right back.
I love AFR. You say it's on the radio too?
Here at American Family Radio, we know that many people find their audio entertainment in other places than the radio. So our programming is available with the AFR app on Apple and Android devices, through Amazon Alexa, and now available on Roku.
I just love the podcasts.
That too. American Family Radio, streaming or podcast, now available wherever you are. And we're on the radio.
Abraham Hamilton III.
God put us in this world at this time to be salt and light. We don't fool because of the darkness that we're facing. This is not the first time in the world's history that it's gotten dark. God has called you and I to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment.
Tune in to the Hamilton Quarter, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Thanks for joining us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. We've got a few lines open. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. Hey, each Friday we're joined by our good friend Jerry Boyer as he stops by to help us analyze the news of the day related to the economy and the markets through the lens of Scripture. Jerry, great to have you with us this morning.
Always great to be with you, my friend.
All right, Jerry, a lot going on in the markets and the economy related to, well, a whole host of things, job reports, Fed action, regional banks back at front and center. What do you make of all of it?
Well, I think the market's having trouble knowing what to make of all of it because there's this really back and forth thing going on. So the futures markets, which is basically just the way the market estimates what they think is going to happen in the future, were not convinced that the Fed was going to hike this week, and they weren't convinced that it wasn't. They basically were kind of splitting the difference, you know, like a 60% probability that it would hike, not a 100%. Now, it hiked only 25 basis points, only a quarter of a percent. It was basically saying if they hike, they won't hike more than that. But when they hiked, they said, they hinted pretty strongly that they're done. So market said, okay, that's it, they're done. And so for the next, the probability shifted. So for the next two meetings, they're not expected to hike at all. They're expected to stand pat. And then in September, they're expected to start cutting because the markets still think we're heading into a recession. Now, today's jobs report, And that's kind of the story of the first half of the week, you know, kind of weak economic news and the Fed, you know, saying that well, we're probably done hiking, which means they want to avoid a recession, but they did hike, which makes it maybe more likely we'll get one. Then we get this jobs report. But the jobs report's for last month, so you're looking in a rearview mirror. It's not the future, it's the past. So basically, this week we've seen the whipsawing back and forth between the expectation that the Fed will be following its mandate to fight inflation, slow the economy down, or to, you know, following its mandate to avoid a recession by, you know, creating more money supply. And as it's whipsawing back and forth, markets are trying to figure out what it's going to do. It's looking more unstable than usual. And that usually happens toward the end of a cycle. In other words, like, will there be one more? We're not sure. You're getting to the point where you're not, you know, where you're getting to those edge cases, and that, you know, those periods of time, those turning points, the markets are sending out a lot of mixed signals. So I look at, you know, as you know, hundreds of these metrics every week. Half of them are saying hawkish. Half of them are saying dovish. Half of them are saying muddle through. Half of them are saying, no, you know, shallow recession is what we have. So the markets don't really know, because the Fed is the leading institution, and it's unstable. And when it's unstable and it's the leader, then the markets are unstable.
Yeah. Jerry, are you surprised that the markets have held up as well as they have, just given all of the cross currents and uncertainty?
I guess not, because this year has largely been the slowing down of the hiking. So, I mean, these 25 basis point hikes are really not that big. So you can see the market being able to withstand them. Now, on the other hand, I don't try to guess what the markets are doing. So I'm not really surprised one way or another, because I don't have firm predictions about the market. Because again, I'm trying to predict what unstable people are going to do in the future. Right. And that seems like a fool's errand. But it seems plausible to me that given the fact that markets have gotten beaten up a lot during a really heavy tightening cycle, you know, contracting the money supply last year, that this year, where the Fed has been signaling, okay, not so much, we're going to go a little easier on you, that the markets have been able to do okay in that environment.
Yeah. Regional banks rebounding a bit today, but still down big on the week. Anything new that we need to be aware of there as that comes back into focus?
Yeah, well, the concern is always that it gets beyond regional banks, right? And what we see is now the Fed's playbook is, if a regional bank gets in trouble, then we're just going to have a shotgun marriage between a regional bank and a national bank. Yeah. And the central bank will come along and, you know, essentially finance that marriage. So one of the things that they're doing, which to me is absolutely amazing, why are the regional banks in trouble? One of the main reasons is they bought a lot of treasury bonds. Well, as we know, the Fed's been selling treasury bonds, which if you sell something, if the biggest investor in something is selling a lot of it, yeah, well, then that means the price goes down, which means the value goes down. And so these banks are stuck with these treasury bonds that aren't worth as much as when they bought them. But the Fed's coming back and saying, well, we'll take them off your hands at the original price if you need us to. So the Fed is doing kind of everything it can. It's really so strange because they're tightening, but they're trying to undo the effects of the tightening. So what they're trying to do is protect the regional banks from the chemotherapy of monetary tightening that is hurting the regional banks. So they're protecting the regional banks from their own action. And where we seem to be going is, if a regional bank is in serious trouble, the FDIC is going to come in and say, we're going to guarantee your deposits even if they're above $250,000, which is a subsidy to the wealthy. Let's be clear. So, you know, this administration might talk downward economic distribution, but it practices upward economic redistribution. And if a regional bank is in too much trouble, just say, okay, here, J.P. Morgan Chase can handle it. J.P. Morgan Chase, why don't you buy this bank? And we'll help out with some of the bad loans and some of the other things, and we'll give you the easy money. We'll put the deposits. So what that means is, we'd likely come out of this crisis with what? More centralization of power, just like we did the 2008-2009 crisis, just like we did a similar banking crisis, regional banking crisis in 2000, 2001, and in 1990, 1991. The big arc is the transfer of power from the middle of the state and from regional entities towards gigantic national entities. I don't like that. Now, I don't want a banking panic, so I understand why the Fed would do this, but we keep doing these things which put power in the center, more in the government and more in the banks, and the government and the banks are more and more intertwined now. Every time there's a crisis, they come out more closely intertwined, and I'm concerned about that from a standpoint of a Republican form of government.
Yeah. Jerry, last question. We've been getting more and more questions lately just about the role of the FDIC and its capacity. I mean, obviously, we could look at what was there and available to the FDIC at the end of the year. I think it was $120 billion. Obviously, if there was a real systemic banking collapse, that's not going to get it done. And yet, if they have the access to the Treasury's balance sheet, then that's an entirely different situation. And it's all about instilling confidence, of course. So what would you say to somebody who's just wondering, does the FDIC truly have the ability to backstop the entire system?
Well, no, the account of the FDIC doesn't, but the Treasury Department, the government has enough money to fund the FDIC. And the Treasury has $500 billion on deposit with the Fed still sitting there. It has a big savings account. It has an emergency savings account, just like you always say we should. It has a really gigantic emergency savings account that it can dip into. And of course, because the FDIC can do that, then people are less likely to panic. So if we really get into a situation where they need to, then Congress can just make another allocation. I don't see any way that there would not be will in Congress to fund a government-guaranteed deposit system, a deposit insurance system. That's going to be a bipartisan consensus. So I think that the fear in this case is probably outstripping the risk. Yeah. At least the fear I hear from a lot of people is outstripping the risk. The bigger risk is the systemic power concentration that happens. We always create our crisis, the next crisis, trying to get out of the current crisis in a non-principled way. And I think that's what we're doing again.
Wow, that's the quote of the day right there. You're exactly right. That's a great insight, Jerry. All right, my friend, we always appreciate you stopping by.
My pleasure. Take care.
All right. That's Jerry Boyer, president of Boyer Research. He joins us each Friday with his insightful analysis through a biblical lens of the economy and the markets. All right. Back to the phones as we round out the program here today to Louisiana. Hi, Richard. You'll be our final caller. Go ahead, sir.
Yes. I just recently found out that, good morning, but I just recently found out that my credit union has a whole segment devoted to diversity and equity inclusion on the website. And some of their affiliates are the African American Union Coalition and the Global Women's Leadership and the CU Pride Association. So that being said, I'm kind of convicted about my money being there, and I was looking for a place, an alternative place to put it.
Yeah. Well, the good news is there are plenty of options for you to align your banking relationship and your investments with your values. I think you need to establish your own convictions. It sounds like you have, and then follow those appropriately. If you're looking for an alternate credit union, I would say our friends at Christian Community Credit Union would be a great option for you to be with a credit union that absolutely aligns with your values and is taking a part of the profits that are being realized and using it to fund kingdom work literally all over the globe. So it might be a great change for you. And again, that would position you to be with an institution that really does align with your convictions and values. To learn more, Richard, just head to joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. And I think you'll find exactly what you're looking for. We appreciate you being on the program, my friend. Thanks for stopping by and for listening today. God bless you. Well, folks, we've covered a lot of ground today. It's always a privilege to wrap up another week with you and to be able to come alongside you to help you experience God's best as we apply His wisdom to the incredible responsibility you and I have as stewards of God's money. By the way, Faith and Finance is listener-supported. We do what we do only because of your generous support. If you'd like to be a supporter of the ministry, you can do that quickly and easily on our website at faithfi.com. Just click the Give button. Again, faithfi.com. Just click give. And between now and June 30th, it would go a long way to helping us stay on track with our plan. By the way, when you make a gift of any amount, request our free to follow package that includes the brand new book, Free to Follow, from Michael Blue, Discovering the Riches of a Surrendered Life, and the new leather FaithFi wallet. It's all there at faithfi.com. Just click give. Hey, thanks to my team today, Devin, Pat, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.